Romans chapter 12. We've been looking at the spiritual gifts. We'll be in this series for a little bit longer, but we've been looking at the different spiritual gifts that God has given us within the body of Christ, and talking about how we can use those gifts to serve both God and to serve others within the body of Christ. And today we're going to be moving from the speaking gifts, which we talked about last week, to a new category, which we can call the support gifts. You know, I want to take a few moments, and I feel like I really need to do this morning, to take a few minutes to open up my life before you a little bit today. The part that I want to open up for you guys of my life is from almost 20 years ago. Now, believe it or not, I do still remember some of the things that happened 20 years ago. Travis might be, you know, just amazed by that, but that's okay. So 20 years ago, as a student in Bible school, there was something that was happening to me that I think happens to a lot of young Bible school students, especially if you're a male, you're studying to go out and be involved in the ministry somewhere, to be a pastor possibly, and it happens all too often in Bible school. You get into your classes in your freshman year on theology and doctrine and Bible survey, and then later on in your education, you start to get into classes on personal evangelism. You get into classes on how to minister to people who are involved in false religions, who are involved in cults. You begin to learn how to preach, and you begin to learn how to teach. And then these grandiose ideas start to enter into your mind. These grandiose ideas begin to enter of having a very large church, a very big church with vibrant and successful ministries that are reaching out to the community, and you're seeing people getting saved in droves, and that there's a line out the door for people who want to get baptized, right? And in the midst of all this is a person who graduated from Bible school and went out to use all of these amazing gifts that God had given this person of teaching and preaching and evangelism and faith. But I use those words grandiose ideas because that's all that they ever were. They were just grandiose ideas in the mind of a young person and in the mind of young people who are wanting to go out into the ministry. And quite frankly, they may have come from a heart that was excited for all that God would do, but a heart that had a big dose of pride. A heart that was not centered on what God wanted to do necessarily, but on all these great things that I wanted to accomplish through ministry. All these great ideas of what I thought the ministry was going to be like. A lot of times we start out in ministry this way, and that's the way that I started out in ministry, as we went off to Utah to be church planters, and in my mind to build this great thing, this great work. But God very, very quickly humbled me. Oh, how fast God humbled me. I wanted to be all of these things. I wanted to see all of these things happen. But thankfully, God took the time to slow me down. And to help me to realize that there was a specific set of gifts that he had given me. And there was a very targeted way that he wanted to use those gifts in my life to accomplish whatever it was that he wanted to accomplish. And that is the point in my life, and that is the point in my ministry when I began to fall in love with the support gifts. Okay? These are the gifts that are often happening behind the scenes. These are the gifts that are often involved in one-on-one ministry with other people. These are the gifts that not really very many people get to see happening. And in many cases, these are gifts that happen behind the scenes entirely, and nobody even knows that they're being done. But God does amazing and absolutely great things through these gifts. And I can't stress enough, we'll talk more about this in just a little bit, but I can't stress enough, we talked about all the speaking gifts last week, but they are not more important than the support gifts. The support gifts are just as important and sometimes can be more important in certain situations than the other gifts that are out there. And today we're going to be talking about just two of those gifts. We're going to talk about the gift of mercy. We're going to talk about the gift of helps, which is also known as the gift of serving. And then next week, we're going to finish off these support gifts by talking about the gift of giving, the gift of leadership, and the gift of shepherding. Now, I really like talking about the support gifts because they're very dear to my heart. They're very dear to who God made me. And they're so often discounted. They're so often minimized, right? When you hear about spiritual gifts, what are the ones that are talked about first? We even did this. It's those speaking gifts, right? It's those gifts in the body that seem more prominent. But these gifts cannot be minimized. These gifts cannot be discounted. And so here this morning, what we're here to do, and also next week, is to show just how important these support gifts really are. So the support gifts are some of the most underrated gifts, especially, I think, in our American society today. They're often misunderstood by those who have different kinds of gifts. But to the body of Christ, these gifts are so extremely important. They're so extremely important for us to be able to function together as the church. And so the first one that we're going to talk about this morning is in Romans chapter 12. This is the gift of mercy. You could also call this the gift of kindness. So I want to read what it says here in Romans 12, verse 8. It says, "He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." He who shows mercy, the person who has mercy, should be doing it with cheerfulness. Now, I grew up in a family where I'm the youngest of four siblings. My sisters, they're the two oldest of us. My brother is just a couple of years older than me. And now you have to understand something about my brother and me. He was and always has been a big boy, right? He was the much larger of the two of us, and I don't say that trying to demean him in any way, because he was the big boy and I was the runt of the litter, okay? And my idea of mercy, if I was standing before you here as a 10-year-old talking to you about my brother today, my idea of mercy would be that it was the word that I had to yell out to get him to stop twisting my arm behind my back. Right? That was my idea of mercy as a 10-year-old. But thankfully, the biblical understanding, the biblical idea, the biblical gift of mercy is different than that. So what exactly does mercy mean? What does it mean to have this gift of mercy or this gift of kindness? Well, here's a definition for you. The gift of mercy, somebody who has that gift, is somebody who knows how to be patient and compassionate to those who are afflicted and suffering. To be patient and compassionate to those who are suffering or afflicted. Now, I'd go even further to say that this gift means that somebody who uses this compassion or who uses this kindness is doing so with a deep experience of cheerfulness. And as they show mercy, what are they doing? They're expressing Christ's compassion. They're expressing Christ's kindness to other people. Now, this is a gift that I really think has to start with the ability to have real patience, the ability to have real biblical compassion. And believe it or not, not everybody is good at those things. Not everyone is good at being patient, right? Not everybody is good at showing compassion. But the people that God gifts in this way, with the gift of mercy, the gift of kindness, they are especially good at these things. And you can see that working out in their lives. There's another thing that we should recognize about this gift. And that is the kind of people that those who have this gift are helping. There's a lot of different ways that we as human beings live in a fallen world, and we face affliction. We face pain. We face suffering. It might be affliction or suffering that you're facing because of an illness or a sickness or a disease or some other way that we're suffering in our bodies. We hear Paul talk about his thorn in the flesh. There was something that he was talking about that was suffering in his body, that was affliction in his body. And all of us go through times like this, don't we? We might be facing an illness or a sickness or some other kind of suffering in our bodies. And it's because we live in this fallen world. It might also be somebody who's going through a hard time at work, or somebody who has actually just lost their job. There's suffering that happens in that way in our world and in the people around us. It also might be somebody who lost their job a long time ago, and the reason why they're suffering is because they can't find work. There's suffering that happens in that realm as well. It might be somebody who's been struggling in their family dynamics. Some things going on at home that are difficult to work through. It could be somebody who lost a loved one, whether a family member or a close friend. It could be somebody who has difficulties at home with children who are walking away from the Lord and rebelling. It might be somebody who has trouble in their marriage. There's a lot of these relational kinds of suffering and affliction that we go through. But there's a wonderful thing, really a wonderful thing that God has done to help us in the body of Christ when we are down, or even when we're down and out. He's placed within the body people who have this gift, people who have this special ability to just sit with you, people who have this ability to hear you out and to listen to you, to offer to you a shoulder to cry on, to lead you to passages of scripture that are helpful to your situation, that speak to you in your hurt. And this is a gift that is so often manifested in that one-to-one ministry, right? This doesn't happen probably at all in a setting like this. It doesn't happen when there's, a whole bunch of people in a room necessarily. But this is that time when somebody who has the gift of kindness, the gift of mercy, gets to spend time one-on-one, providing comfort and providing support for people who need it. Now, I believe that God has actually been merciful to the body of Christ. Talking about this gift of mercy, he has been merciful to us in the church by giving us these people who have this gift with this ability to have an extreme sensitivity to those who are hurting. Now, if you have been given this gift of mercy, I just want to give a little bit of a warning here, because it might be discouraging looking around and seeing that there are other people who are not gifted in this way. So if you have this gift of mercy, don't be discouraged when you see others who are around you who don't approach things the same way that you do. You know, oftentimes there's going to be other Christians around you who don't have that same sensitivity. And the reason why that's okay is because God has gifted you to have that sensitivity. God has gifted you to have that deep sense of mercy and that deep sense of kindness toward other people. Now, when Romans mentions this gift in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, what does it say that it's to be done with? It's cheerfulness, right? To have this gift of mercy, it says, let it be done with cheerfulness. Well, why was this mentioned? Why was this word cheerfulness mentioned? Now, sometimes I think it's easy for us to look around and to see people who are fulfilling their spiritual gifts and to be the one who might be fulfilling this spiritual gift of mercy and to look around and say, where's everybody else? Where's everybody else in this? I would enjoy having some help ministering to the people who need help through this ministry. Where is everybody else? Why aren't they serving the way that I am? And I think another reason why he mentions cheerfulness here is because when you're going into people's homes and into people's lives who are experiencing suffering, what's one of the things that they need the most? A cheerful attitude, right? They need some cheerfulness in their lives. We don't want to stick to that opposite attitude of looking around and saying, where is everybody else? Instead, if we have the gift of mercy, we should be doing it with cheerfulness. In Thayer's Bible Dictionary, it put it this way, that cheerfulness is cheerful readiness. And then he gives this example that it's the attitude that is ready to respond from a willing spirit. So that's the attitude behind this gift of mercy. It's to do it with an attitude that is ready to respond from a willing spirit. Not begrudgingly, not because you feel like you have to do this and somebody else is pushing you to do this, but because it's from a heart of cheerfulness. There's a good example in Matthew chapter 20 of this gift. And Jesus is showing this gift. I want to read these verses for you this morning. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 29. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' And the crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet." And sometimes I think that we might be part of that crowd, right? It says, "The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they all shouted all the louder, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.' And so Jesus stopped and called them. And he said, 'What do you want for me to do for you?' They said, 'Lord, we want our sight.' Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and they followed him." So we have this amazing example of mercy in Scripture. And this is a perfect example of mercy because it's coming from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this is something that we need to understand, that we cannot minimize this gift. We cannot look at somebody who has the gift of mercy and say their gift is not as important as my gift. We can't minimize it. We can't underrate these gifts. The reason why is because God has gifted us all in different ways. You know, to give you an example, let's say that you go by through a period of 6 months where you have had some really terrible things that are happening in your life, where you've got some real struggles that you're dealing with in your life. And let's say that during those 6 months, you go to church, you know, pretty much every Sunday, and the pastor gets up in front of you and he speaks to you out of the Word of God every single Sunday. Are you guys going to be able to pinpoint one particular time and say, "Oh yeah, I remember what the pastor said that Sunday"? Are you going to be able to pick out a particular date and say, "I remember that, you know, every word that the pastor said that day"? I would imagine that the answer to that question is no. I look back 6 months and I don't even remember what I preached about, right? Okay, but if you have somebody who comes into your life during that difficult 6 month period, and they sit with you, and they listen to you, and they help you in the ways that you need help, are you going to remember that? I would imagine that that's going to make a huge impact on your life. I would imagine that that person is going to have a huge place in your heart because they took some time to show kindness and mercy. And I bring up that illustration just to share with you that this support gift is extremely important. Those who have the gift of mercy are truly building up the body of Christ. And so often it's being done through quiet and purposeful ministry toward other people. But there's another gift that God has given to people who are in the body of Christ. And I want to talk about it this morning. It's really the hands and feet or the boots on the ground kind of service. It's people who are serving in practical ways. And that second gift that I want to talk about this morning is the gift of helps, or the gift of serving. You guys can turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Is where a lot of the gifts are listed. So what this gift looks like on a practical level is somebody who's available and willing to do whatever needs to be done. And to do it whenever, so that God's work can advance, right? And honestly, I think that this is an extremely important gift, because if we don't have people in place in the church who have the gift of helps, how much work is ever going to get done? Pretty much nothing, right? People who have this gift of service are so willing to get involved, so willing to do whatever it is that needs to be done, that we really, really need them. Now, you can think of it this way. If you're trying to build a house, you're going to have people who do planning, right? If you build a house without any plans, that's a problem. But the people who are involved in this process might be an architect, right? It might be the city planner. It might be the drafter who makes the blueprints for your house. And you can also spend some time going through the design elements of your house, right? You can think through all the things that your house needs, all the things that you want to be included, all the features that you want to be there, all the things that you don't want to be there. But when it really comes down to it, if you don't have the people, those people who are the hands and feet, is your house ever going to get built? No. And if you think about the people who are working on that labor, who are doing whatever it takes to get your house built, you're going to be so much more thankful for them. These are the kind of people who say, hand me a hammer and I'm going to hammer. There are people who are going to say, do the dishes need washing? Well, I'll step in and I'm going to wash the dishes. There are people who are going to look and say, do you need me to carry that for you? And they're actually going to go and pick up those things and carry them for you. This is a person who's going to come into a situation and they're going to be willing to lend a hand. No matter what it is, really, they're going to be willing to lend a hand because they don't have any preconceived ideas of what they will or won't do. They're just simply willing to carry out this gift. Now, I like this description that there's an idea that this gift carries along with it. And that idea is somebody who's willing to take a burden on themselves. Now, if you think about that, the things that a person who has the gift of helps or the gift of service does, they really are taking on whatever that burden is. They're taking it on themselves and saying, hey, let me take care of that. And the reason why this is so important in the body of Christ is that we need those people to come alongside of us who don't have that gift, who have other gifts to accomplish, and to say, hey, come alongside of us and take on that burden so that we can accomplish the gifts that God has given us. Now, this is one of those gifts that's very easy to see carried out both within the walls of the church and outside of the church as well. We get to see these things happening on a weekly basis in the church, right? You have all those people that come in and they do whatever it is that needs to be done to maintain the church, to be able to do what needs to be done to have a service on Sunday morning. There's lots of different things that are going on behind the scenes. But this is something that for sure you can see happening outside of the church as well. This might be somebody who, when it snows, like it did on Wednesday, and like it did on the Wednesday before that, and like it did on the Wednesday before that, right? We could just keep going back. We've had a really snowy winter. But this is somebody who sees it snowing, and they pick up a shovel, and they go outside, and they shovel the walk. And then they see that the neighbor has not had a chance to shovel their walk yet, and so what are they going to do? They're going to go and shovel the neighbor's walk. You know, when we had a really big snowstorm a few weeks back, I was reading stories about somebody who just got absolute joy out of doing this. They went from neighbor to neighbor to neighbor, house to house to house. They had a day where they couldn't go into work, and so he spent his entire day shoveling the walks in the neighborhood. And I think that that person, if he's a believer, might have the gift of helps. So this is somebody who does things like that. This is also somebody who, as you're driving down the road, sees somebody broken down on the side of the road, and what do? They stop and help, right? They have the gift of helps. Now, I think that you guys could probably think of 1,000 other examples besides this, but these are things that happen both inside of the church and also outside of the church as well. There's a lot of people who are willing to help when they come into a church. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have the gift of helps, though. Because a lot of times people will come into the church willing to help, but often they have ideas about what they're willing to do and what they're not willing to do. But we need these people who have this gift of service, who have this gift of helps, because these are people who come in and they take action and they do whatever it is that needs to be done. And it's a wonderful gift. It's an awesome thing to see in action. So what are some things that people with this gift need to be careful of? What are some cautions that might need to be there? Well, the first thing that I want to say to you this morning is that a person with the gift of helps needs to know you can't do everything by yourself. You can't do everything on your own. Sometimes there's a couple of words that a person with this gift needs to learn. What do you think that first word is? No. Yeah, that's the other one. So this person who has the spiritual gift of helps might need to learn how to say no. Sometimes that's a very difficult thing to learn how to do. But the other one can be just as difficult, right? To learn how to ask somebody else for help. So you can't do everything by yourself. We need the body of Christ to all be working together. Then the other thing I want to turn with you, or want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. This really is just a second caution for you if you have this spiritual gift of helps. And that is, don't get discouraged when there are others around you who are not doing the same thing as you. And I know that I said that as well with the gift of mercy. And the reason why I keep repeating that over and over again is because it's a truth. It's a reality in our lives that we do this. Don't get discouraged when there's others around you who are not doing the same thing as you are. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations, and she came up to the Lord and said to him, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all of the serving alone? Then tell her to help me.'" See, Martha was discouraged because she saw that Mary was worshiping the Lord in a different way. She was discouraged because she looked at Mary and she said, "She's not serving me the way that I think she should, or serving you the way that I think that she should be serving you." It's a difficult position to be in, and it's something that we just need to have caution about. So don't get discouraged when others around you aren't doing the same thing that you're doing. And then the third thing is just to be careful not to serve in your own strength. And again, this can apply to anything, but I think that the spiritual gift of helps is especially applicable to this caution, that we need to be serving not in our own strength, but in the Lord's strength. In 1 Peter chapter 4, this is verse 11. It says, "If anyone serves, he should serve with the strength that God provides." Right? So where does our strength come from when we are serving? No matter what our spiritual gift is, it is from God. It's not from our own strength. We can't be relying on ourselves. Otherwise, we're going to fall down flat on our face. So mercy and service, these are the two things that we talked about this morning. Two support gifts, background gifts, whatever it is that you want to call them. These are important gifts to the body of Christ. And maybe these are ways that God has gifted you. Do you maybe have the gift of mercy? Maybe that gift of kindness? Do you maybe have that gift of helps, that gift of service? So we're going to pause for just a moment as we're getting to ready to wrap up our time for today. And that's for the reminder that we need to have as we're talking about all of the spiritual gifts. And many of them specifically, but for these two, mercy and service, they are both spiritual gifts that God has given to some people within the body of Christ through the Holy Spirit. However, how many of us should be showing mercy to other people? Every single one of us, right? And how many of us should be willing to serve, to put our hands to work, to be those boots on the ground in service in the body of Christ? I think the answer is the same, that all of us should be willing to do those things. Talking about mercy specifically, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, as he was teaching his Sermon on the Mount, he said, "Blessed are the merciful." And here's the reason why. He said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." So we all, this applies to all of us, right? We should all be merciful to those who are around us. Then talking about service, the Bible is absolutely packed. I couldn't like focus in on any one single thing because the Bible is packed with examples of how we are to help other people. It talks about feeding the poor. It talks about taking care of the widows. It talks about lending to those in need without expecting anything in return. It talks about sharing what God has given you with those who don't have anything. It talks about bearing one another's burdens. So next week, we're going to get into these other three support gifts. We're going to be talking about giving. We're going to be talking about leadership, which is also known as the gift of administration, and we're going to be talking about shepherding. I want to go back, though, as we're ending our time this morning, to the first week of our series on spiritual gifts. And one of the things that we were challenged to do during that first week of teaching is to take some time to pray about how God has gifted you. And I just want to ask, how is that going? Have you been spending time asking the Lord to reveal to you how it is that he has gifted you? And again, we talked about people who may already know these are the ways that I believe that God has gifted me. Have you been spending time in prayer asking God how to use those gifts? And then for those of you who may not yet know, maybe you're still on that search trying to figure out how it is that God has gifted you, are you asking him persistently? We've been talking about this in Sunday school, in the mornings before service, that God wants us to be persistent in our prayers. So are you asking him persistently to reveal those things to you? So I asked that question, how is it going? But not to give you a guilt trip, I want to encourage you to keep it up. Keep on asking the Lord. If God has been very clearly showing you how he's gifted you, even if you already know how God has gifted you, I think it's really a good exercise for us to do as we walk through this study, to begin or to continue to look around us and see what's going on. What are the things that are happening around us? We need to do this to heighten our level of observation of what God is doing and ask God to reveal the needs of the people who are in our lives, in our proximity, the needs that are very real needs, the needs that are very present needs in the lives of those people. And as we do this, what my prayer is that God will help all of us to see life through the lens of service. To see life through the lens of how he has made us. To see life through the lens of how we can use those spiritual gifts to bring glory to God. To see life in a way that we can know how God has gifted us. And that we can know how God wants to use us in those gifts. And to see an impact made on the world that is around us. So keep on praying. And in that, let's close our time in a word of prayer. Lord God, we come before you this morning, once again, just so humbled by the fact that you have given us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Lord God, that you have not only promised us eternity, but that you have promised us this life, however long that might be. Lord, and in that life, you have given us the opportunity to serve one another, to serve other people, and to bring glory to your name through those gifts that you've given us. God, I pray that you would reveal those things within us, that you would help us to understand how you have made us and how you want us to be serving you. God, we love you so much, praise you, and thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.